Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery with your host, Jane Marquis, ND. Today, we have two extraordinary guests, Michael DiPatrio and Marcy Donnelly, co-authors of the groundbreaking book, The Inside Guide, Breaking Through to Intuitive Wisdom and Inspired Living. In this episode, Michael and Marcy will take us on a journey of self-discovery and transformation. They'll share insights on how to overcome self-limiting patterns and tap into our innate intuitive wisdom. Through their guidance, we'll learn how to navigate life's obstacles with inner guidance and harness powerful tools to transform our lives from within. So get ready to unlock the secrets to intuitive living and inspired transformation. Join me, Jane Marquis, along with Michael and Marcy, as we embark on the path to mastering our inner selves on Meltdown to Mastery. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Michael and Marcy.
Thank you.
So glad to have you. And I want you to get into why this work became a passion of yours. But I wanted to start with a quote, which I believe in so strongly, and it's what Meltdown to Mastery is about. And that is that one from you, Michael, and that is, every crisis point is best taken as an opportunity. We either walk through the door or we don't. Maybe we could start there.
Yeah, probably that's what got me passionate, is my own crisis in the younger part of my life and my challenges in my 20s. And just, I had a lot of wounds and a lot of things that I wasn't even aware of. And then at 30, I had a pretty profound opening, a heart opening. And it's almost like 30 years of unprocessed content started flowing out. And it really just, for me, became a way of life. It became just normal for me. I started a strong meditation practice. I got into martial arts. I really just started jumping into any tools that would help me develop my awareness and my consciousness. And it became a lifestyle for me. So I think probably if we use those crisis points correctly, you know, if we realize they're not, again, problems, but opportunities to go deeper, to really discover our true self and discover who we are, that's the opportunity we have.
Yeah. So you had a crisis that opened your heart.
I wouldn't say it was a crisis. I was at a crisis point. It was right around the time I was 30 and turning 60 this year. So almost exactly 30 years of this time, 30 years ago. And I was just at a real low point in my life. I wasn't sure of my direction. I was going into depression a lot. And I went to the desert, to Sedona, and just kind of on a vision quest. And just hiking one day on my 30th birthday, my heart exploded. It's almost like I walked into a presence or something, and it really just opened my heart, and I was flooded with love and joy, and it started me on my path. It was the initiation point. So,
right. And did you ask for that to happen, or did it just happen randomly, or was it because you were questioning life?
Random. It just happened. But, you know, I think it was a very powerful, impactful experience. And I think sometimes the degree of the experience is the degree that we're off track. So if we're very off track, sometimes we need a big experience. If they're just little course corrections, maybe we're not getting these huge firework experiences because we're already navigating pretty well on our path. You know, at that point in my life, I didn't even have the concept of a path, you know? And I was very externalized, like a lot of folks, and it was a wake-up call for me. It was something to snap me back in the direction that I was meant to follow.
Right. And you can't miss it, can you?
No.
Awesome. And Marcy?
Yeah, my path was a little bit different. I really found myself as I was aging and kind of accomplishing what I thought was kind of my life path and all of my desires, which was, you know, go to school and, you know, buy your first house and get married and have kids. And so I was kind of living the dream of what I thought was expected of me for my path to joy and fulfillment. And through this time, I've always had this desire of, you know, growth and curiosity about, you know, how to do things better. I'm an efficiency, left brain, project manager, deliverable type person by nature. So I was able to get a lot done and be from the outside what would be seen as successful. I contribute to my community. You know, we're raising kids and, you know, I have built a career in finance. And I've always strived for this feeling of joy because I really felt like my emotions were up and down. It would high when I would accomplish something and low after, and then kind of flatline with what could probably be diagnosed as some level of depression or darkness, sadness. And it seemed like things on the outside would be needed in order to kind of raise my level of energy and excitement. So I was always searching for what was next to do. What else can I put on my plate? What will fill this hole? And happenstance happened where I was introduced to Michael and I had this amazing experience. He sat down and said, "What are we working on?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "Overall, I feel pretty good. If you look at my resume, I've kind of checked off all the things that were expected, but I said, I just still feel like something's missing." And so he really helped me discover what was missing is really my sense of self. It was the ability to turn in and start to really understand who I am, what my purpose is, what were my skills and talents, and what was I passionate about? And what were the things that would kick me off this, what I call this mountaintop experience, where I'm living in flow and synchronicity and joy? Like, how do I bring that back into my daily life? And so in really some amazing transformative sessions, what I've noticed with his work was that I got lasting change. Like when we went in there and adjusted some things, all of a sudden I would show up differently and then different people would show up. My experience of life changed. I mentioned that, you know, I can't even remember what I was like 6 years ago. Other than the fact is I remember I was, you know, lack of sleep, stressed. So after I've practiced this and made adjustments and started better understanding, you know, what this new life and ability was out there for me, I just then like couldn't get enough of it. I got a phone call a few years ago asking if I want to write a book with him, and it's my passion. And this is really the other piece of what I think what was missing. Number one, figuring out who I was and understanding how to live from a place of love and joy and fulfillment without working hard at it. And then second, being able to live out this purpose outwardly into the world through this work.
Lovely. So the inside guide is a lot of what Michael taught you, and now you're passionate about teaching others, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, really, really nice. So should we go next into sharing some of the things that are in the book that could help others?
Sure. Yeah. Do you want me to just take off on that, or do you want to queue up a couple of things that grabbed your attention?
Well, self-limiting patterns are a big thing, right? Like we get stuck in those. Should we start there and how you teach others to overcome them?
Sure. Like you're diving right into the deep stuff. This is good. So self-limiting patterns, you know, our brain, and I know this is something you work with as well, is at the end of the day, everything we're going through is a neurological pattern. And if we consider our brain like a supercomputer, any experience we have, whether it's resourceful or limiting, can be viewed like a program running on our brain. The hardware is fine. Your brain is fine. But sometimes these programs are outdated and limiting, right? And so we really want to just look at how do we update our views. And so a lot of times when we were growing up, we went through an indoctrination and a conditioning process in childhood that began to condition us either to externalize or to move off of our true center. And it wasn't, it's always done originally with good intent. We're trying to adapt and adjust, deal with whatever the situations are in our upbringing. A lot of times, though, there's wounding and then there's adaptation, right? So these adaptations begin to develop a false sense of who we are and even work as lenses for reality to make things appear certain ways when maybe they're not that way, right? And so a self-limiting program is just something based in a misconception either about who I am or how life is or how other people are. And that misconception can lead to the limitation, right? So when we debunk the misconception, we can start to see more clearly. If we still have the limiting factor in place, it's almost like a coloration. Let's say, you know, you're looking through blue glasses and suddenly you say everything is blue, the world is blue, and someone gives you a pair of clear glasses and you begin to see something from a more clear perspective, right? So when we go through the process and we uncover these programs and we repattern some of the early misconceptions, we're able to shift both our own experience, our experience of ourselves, and how we show up in the world.
Yeah, I describe that with homeopathy as well, like it's a lens. And when you take the lens off, you see the world differently. And then you react and you have different possibilities because of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really powerful. And like you say, it's not obvious, but once you know it, you can't take it back. Like right. Once you realize that those lenses are on, you have the opportunity to take them off.
And sometimes it is challenging to get to those programs because a lot of times they remain unconscious. We're just not aware. You know, we're going about our life. We're not doing anything wrong. We're not making any mistakes. But there are still these limitations are operating below the threshold of our awareness.
Yeah. Maybe, Marcy, do you have an example of taking off a lens that changed your perspective?
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the big ones that came up immediately for me is that I had this unconscious belief that I had to move at 100 miles an hour with a 12-page to-do list in order to get things done. Because what I would find is living at this constant level of high stress, I was really productive. I wasn't sleeping well. I was getting up and spending long hours at my desk, overcommitting myself. And once we realized that I use that stress as a motivation to get things done, and then with that also learning that I'm a person that naturally gets things done, that once I realized that that was already part of my personality and I didn't have to burn myself out to get things accomplished, the sense of relief, I can't even describe it, knowing that I could do things at my own pace. And my pace is probably a little faster than some, a little slower than others, but it's being able to sit back and it's helped me assess what's really important to work on. I will get things done either way. And I actually am even more productive now, being able to manage my time according to what I feel is important in my schedule. And it allows me to say no to things that aren't aligning to things that I really deeply desire. And that was a major, major shift in energy, stress. And in an odd, mystical way, I get more done.
Right? Because you can be on fast forward and in a constant state of stress. And it just keeps you in fight or flight and you never really settle down or be in the moment. I think I had the same program running and now I say to myself, stop, you're going to do this first, then that, because your mind wants to jump to all the other things you have to do. And then you learn to be in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Isn't that the cause of anxiety when we get too far out in front of ourselves, right? And then You know, I always say anxiety is living too much in the future and depression is living too much in the past, right?
Yes. Right. It's such a relief to just be in the moment.
Yeah.
And leave all that out. So how do you guys teach inner guidance to clear some of these things?
Well, I think the biggest tool for anyone, and I think it, again, maybe teaching it isn't really the right approach because it almost makes it seem pedagogical a little bit, like it's something you can teach to people. But again, I think people have to make a choice. And I always say it's an optional course, right? Like in all the courses of life we go to follow your inner guidance, to wake up on the interior is an optional course. One of the tools that's very helpful though is a meditation practice. And I think it's, let me debunk, because someone's like, well, I try to meditate and it doesn't work because my thoughts race and, you know, I'm not good at meditation. Well, neither was I when I first started. And that's the process of meditation you need to do, is learning to just let your mind calm down. And it takes some time every once in a while to just, you know, give yourself the time and space to let yourself calm down. I like to just change from meditation to sitting still and quiet, and just take a moment in your, even if it's 5 minutes out of your day, just check in with yourself. Notice what's going on. Follow your breath. Maybe go for a walk. You know, I like to do that one as well. Like get in some nature sometimes helps me just reconnect, notice what's going on. But a lot of it is just noticing and beginning to turn your attention inward. You know, we have so much going on in life and so many distractions that can keep us focused outside ourselves. So it really just has to be a choice. I'm going to start to include this portion in my life, include this introspection.
Right. Well, it's practice for being in the moment and doing what Marcy was saying, just even when you're working, so that you can get inner guidance as to how to approach the next thing that's coming. Sometimes I'll now do a walking meditation and I'll say to myself, in 20 minutes, I'll know the answer for my biggest question, which is whatever. And sometimes often it comes, like often you just know.
When we can still the mind a little bit more and just calm down internally, we do get we get more clarity, we get more direction, and we really engage that intuitive part of our nature. I think women are generally better at this than men, just by nature and by our societal conditioning. But I think that's really key, and especially as life in our society gets more complex and there's more demands, I think following the intuitive path is really the way through, and not trying to figure everything out from an analytical place, but to listen to how you're being called. What is your heart saying? What is your own inner guidance showing you?
One practice I was just going to add that was really new to me was listening to my body, because I realized for myself as a left brain, you know, transactor, I lived often from my neck up. And so what I learned through Michael's work is that a lot of these unconscious thoughts have space to breathe in some sort of practice. If you could slow down your mind and then check in with your body, where are you feeling something? I have a yoga practice where sometimes in a position I'll say, is there something my body is trying to tell me? And then I'll be quiet. And just kind of amazing things come up that I couldn't have pulled just thinking about something. So I appreciate my processor that I have on, you know, from my neck up, but being able to connect with body has been really instrumental in me really checking in to see if there's something I should do, if there's a strong yes or a strong no, instead of processing through my brain. I'll check in with my body and then also check in with my heart, my intuition, my gut. And that's been a practice that I turn to daily, just to help, you know, this connection that I wasn't really living prior to this work.
Right. And then when you listen, what does your body say? Like, what are the feelings in your body when it's saying yes? And what do you feel when it's saying no?
Yeah, for me, yes is like, it almost seems, you know, they have those little pendulums that swing, but a yes to me feels like a big swing in one direction, and a no feels like, you know, cramping in my gut, muscle tightening. And usually it's pretty obvious. And if it's not obvious, then maybe it's a decision I need to sit on and let that marinate. Because as a processor, I like to make decisions and move on. And so this practice has also taught me a lot of patience, that sometimes if I don't have the wisdom, a strong yes or no to move forward, then maybe it's not the right time. And so then I've learned a lot of patience and a lot of waiting, which has been a challenge sometimes.
Right. And then with patience, sometimes the answers are just so obvious a week or 2 weeks or a month down the road. But why is that patience necessary?
Well, things clarify with time. I think it has to do with, I'm emotional by nature, and anyone who's, you know, we have different, some people are more mental, some people are more physical. I'm pretty emotional, and that's my dominant way of processing. When you're processing through emotional awareness, you're never really quite clear because the emotions are always clouding everything, right? So I've learned to wait and let my emotions go take me on a little journey, and I might have to feel my way through things, like almost like I'm groping in the dark a little bit, right? But I like the concept of not knowing, and that's kind of hard for a lot of people. Everyone doesn't like a lot of people don't like the unknown, you know? We want a known reference point, but not knowing can be very fruitful. And if you make friends with the unknown and you let clarity emerge over time, patience is the way that helps us along that way. It helps us get to a clarity. So I'm not always clear. I get confused. I go through just moments of just not knowing where to go next. But again, like you said, if we wait, it does become clear.
Yes. And we so often want to know the end result, but sometimes we only know the bend in the next curve of the river, right? And then life carries us on. And maybe that's the mystery of life.
Sometimes I think, you know, we're on a path where it's like we're walking over a bridge, but each step is materializing as we take the step almost, you know? And so we're like, am I going to go off the cliff at any point? But the steps seem to be there right when you need them.
Yeah. And so do you think manifestation is part of it, depending on how clear we are and the ultimate goal?
I do think it's part of it. Yeah. And I think, you know, I grappled for a long time, like, well, if I'm manifesting and I'm having a vision and I have to hold this vision, am I out in the future or am I in the moment, right? If I'm always thinking about what I'm manifesting and the vision I want, but it is in the moment. If you're clear in the moment that you're doing a visualization and you're stepping in to a vision, not just like this is what I want, but the manifestation involves really getting into the feeling and getting into the vivid experience of what it's like when we have that thing we want or that event we want or that situation we want manifested into our life. It's really about the full experience, how it feels. How is it going to change? Am I going to be expanded in some way? Well, we can step in and start to live that expanded way now. Right? Just by using our imagination, by beginning to feel the energy of what that manifestation is like in our life. And I think that's a very important process, because for me, it's always kind of bringing me along on another dimension in a way. And we do need to have our goals and our visions. You know, we're doing a virtual gathering this month on being purpose-driven and purpose-driven action. And I think it's important to have some purpose or some drive to keep the motivation going, to keep the enthusiasm and the inspiration going, right? So that's, I think, manifestation is part of that. It's part of what keeps me on my path and moving forward and staying motivated without having to motivate, right? I'm just like, I feel passionate about this. I'm aligned with what we're manifesting. So it just keeps the motivation going.
Yeah. And the next steps coming, right?
Yeah.
And do you find, I find in manifestation, if it's simply heartfelt and to help in my unique way, then things fall into place very quickly. And there's that heart component that you felt. I don't know. Can you comment on that?
It doesn't always happen that way for me.
So it's okay. Well, only sometimes it happens.
I think maybe we're holding a big vision too. So it's taking time to unfold. Marcy and I have a very big vision for how we want to reach the world and create community. And it's been materializing and we get pieces of it. But yeah, I think for me, the heart-centered piece is where I want to live every moment, right? And like, if I fall out of that, or I have something that throws me off out of my heart center, I almost am compelled, like I can't do anything else until I get back. But it seems like everything is coming from that place, you know? And so I think we need to be there.
Yeah, it's key.
I find that, you know, sometimes we want to manifest and we're like Marcy and I fell into this trap last year a little bit. We had this big vision and things weren't really happening on the time scale we had envisioned. We're like, oh, it's not working, you know. And in fact, it was working, but not, you know, I say God's time, not our time, right? We're not in control of the timing always. And I think it comes back to that patience again, like, and a trust that it is happening. You are materializing and manifesting this vision, but it may just not be on the time scale that we're aware of. And if it happens quicker, all the better, you know, that's great.
Yeah. The path that we imagine, right? Like I was in communication with Michael and I went to Sedona last week and I thought my big transformational experience in beautiful Sedona was going to be on a rock meditating and something magical would happen. And in fact, I had a run-in at a place and it was very upsetting. And so I'm in my car and I call Michael and we talk through and I'm like, okay, there was my transformational experience in the parking lot of a strip mall in a rental car. And it's like, that was way more powerful than sitting on a mountain somewhere. And I got to the mountain later, but you really never know. And we're not in control, which was hard for me to surrender, but you never really are in control of the time or the path. That's why we hold this larger vision and the space and the energy. And as mentioned, we have big goals, but we have to feel it in our heart and deal with limiting beliefs that come up where we may be challenging those ourselves unconsciously or consciously. So just kind of working through it is also a little bit out of my control sometimes, but we're always curious about it and celebrate when things happen that look like they're little markers or guideposts along the way. And that's what makes it fun, is the synchronistic part of this journey, because it probably won't happen in the time or the way that we expect, but that's the fun part of it.
Right. Letting go of the expectation.
Yeah.
We're so driven by thinking we need to know or control over how it happens. So yeah, it's really, really fun and cool to talk about. Any more key guidance things that you can share with us that are...
Yeah, I think an important piece is gratitude. Like mm-hmm. We're manifesting what we want, but to be grateful for where we are. And we really have to hold both of those together. Like I'm on a journey, I'm moving towards a greater, more fulfilling life. And today is pretty great and fulfilling as well, right? And how do I begin to develop more appreciation, acceptance, and gratitude for where I am? And then I can still move, I can still be on that journey, but where I am has to have an appreciation to it as well.
Yeah. So to settle into the moment and be grateful for that. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I, when I talk about this work, I really I was always looking for, you know, an outside solution, you know, a program, a course, something that would fill this hole. And once that perspective was shifted to investigating and learning about myself and celebrating how I show up and who I am and the gift of this life, I love talking about it. And now I show up and see people as the whole and complete as they are. And we're building this great community. And so really encouraging people to celebrate who they are and get curious about what their natural, what their nature is and things that get them excited and then follow that. There is no, you know, I was often taught in this whole world of metaphysics, like you'll continue to bump your head against a lesson and then one day it'll just knock you over until you learn it. And it just sounded like life was really painful. And so to stop and realize and understand unconscious, your unconscious conditioning, tools to connect to that with, you know, support, like with what you all do, and then really getting curious about what drives you, what gets you excited, and start finding that passion. Because we, you know, part of this work is going inward and figuring out yourself so you could show up, as we talk about, in the world living your purpose, which is really the way that we're going to shift our communities, you know, heal from things that are out, that are painful as you know, we're functioning in this world. And it's really fun to discover that and see others discover that for themselves.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting to when you realize how conditioned we are to find answers outside of ourselves. I mean, even if we think back to our first conditioning as an infant, when we needed something, we cried and we demanded that someone else solve the problem with food or whatever, right? So we've learned that if we cry loud enough, someone else will solve the problem. And it's just such an awakening when you realize that that's not the way, that the way is inward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you're teaching is so valuable.
I'm curious, what do you think, like, I have a question that maybe we can throw out is, what do you think, like, we're talking a lot about the benefits and all the goodness. What are some of the problems that people encounter? What are some of the things, maybe we can talk a little bit about what trips people up, or what might lead them to doing this work?
Well, for me, what I see all the time is health.
Right?
So we come down with a condition. It can be chronic, it can be small, but we always look outside ourselves to have it healed, right? We run to a doctor or a surgeon.
Yeah.
And so instead of listening to our body, you were talking about, but yeah, what other?
Well, I find, you know, that for a lot of people, they have most of their life dialed in, you know, and it's like, okay, I'm checking all those boxes there, but maybe in one section of the pie, there's some disappointment or there's some, I feel like I'm falling short in this one area over here. And generally, I think a big mistake people make is I just don't want to look at it because this other part's going okay. And if I just dance a little faster and work a little harder, I won't have to ignore that. And maybe I can distract myself with some entertainment and socializing, right? But eventually, you know, and I have the wisdom of age a little bit now, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. So I think the invitation is, if there is that little thing that's disappointing you, take charge by starting to jump into that and get assistance if you feel like you need help on getting your consciousness around it or where it's really coming from and how to shift it. Mm. And I think a big mistake people make is thinking they have to do it all themselves, thinking they have to go it alone. And that's just not true, because every success I've had has involved other people. And it really, you know, I'm doing much better now because of my partnership with Marcy, and we're a crackerjack team, and we're two sides of the same coin, you know, and we operate very differently, but we're always bringing different perspectives, and we do that in a really synergistic way. So I couldn't be where I am today without Marcy's help. So I think those are some things that really get help, build your community, get your support network in place, face those little nagging things that you think, well, I'll take care of it tomorrow, you know, jump into those things, start getting awareness around them, and you can shift and get what you want. And so I think a big thing too is people often sell themselves a little short, you know, and I think they're believing in some of those self-limiting patterns about maybe I'm not able to do this, maybe I'm not worthy to have this particular thing, it's too hard, so it's better just to, you know, go on with my life the way it is. The status quo is comfortable. I don't want to mess things up. So these are all challenging things that can keep people stuck. And they don't have to, though. There is light on the other side of all those challenges, and you can get through them.
Right. Or running from the challenge.
Right.
Well, maybe there's people around you that really get under your skin, or you think they're the problem. But when you go inward, you discover, oh, if I change, everything changes, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
Marcy, anything to add to that?
I was saying that some of those doors to walk through could be a little scary and intimidating. And really, it's a path to love, and it's a path to living a life that's easier, that's heartfelt, and that, shadows kind of live in the dark. So being able to realize, like, there's no judgment. This is, there's, like I said, getting curious about those things that trigger you, and that there's some easy ways, if you're working with someone, to shift those quickly. It's life is not meant to be hard. And we're actually called to show up in the most open-hearted, loving way that we can, whether it's, just within our family, or whether it's reaching out and doing amazing things in your community or on a larger scale. There's lots of ways to show up. And once we do that for ourselves, then it almost gives permission to others to start doing that investigation and love for themselves also. So that's why we love this community that we're in. And it's so important, because we definitely, our website is Love Guides Us, because really in the end, it's this open-hearted place of love and support, which in my world gets things done faster and easier in a really fun and joyful way.
Beautiful. Yeah. And sometimes those dark, scary things, like you said, they live in the dark, but when you shine the light on them with love, they just kind of evaporate. You're like, wait, they're not as powerful as I thought. So guys, how do people find your book and more of you?
Yeah, thanks. As mentioned, our website is www.loveguides.us. So Love Guides Us. And we're excited. You could purchase the book, and for your group, Jane, if they use the coupon code GROUP25, they could get a 25% discount off our book and some free shipping. And we're excited. We are coming out with some e-courses and some workshops and retreats, since we have an online virtual community where we do monthly Zoom calls. So just to connect, and we have themes each month and some great conversation. And it's just a way to live inspired. And also, sometimes there's some live one-on-one coaching that happens as folks show up. So we all learn from each other. And so the website is really a portal to find out more information on all of that.
Yeah, we want to encourage people to go to our website, get on our mailing list. Our virtual gatherings every month are free. We do that just to build community and foster the work and try to give people a sense of what this is doing for them, just like you're doing with your podcast. So, yeah.
Beautiful work, guys. Right. And sometimes at those times when someone else pipes up, you're like, oh, that was my question too.
Right.
It can be so magical. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There is one thing for certain: meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.